In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Better late than never. We're not quite Rich Rod, but I think we're on that next pedestal down. Rod 1, Dirt and Sprague 2. That's how this rolls on a Monday. For the commissioner of college football, who we have missed on our fine program, Josh Pate. You can hear his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube. Catch the podcast wherever you find the podcast.
He's at the 50-yard line, I heard.
At Josh Pate CFB, the 50-yard line of the field.
He's on the WVA logo right now taking this phone call.
You say WVA? Did you give an A in there?
Oh, I did do an A, didn't I?
Sorry, Pate. I like to apologize for my co-host. Are you on?
I care about the Big 12.
Are you on the turf right now?
Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, no.
All right. Not only am I, I'm standing on the aforementioned, I don't know what the WVA logo is, the WVU logo. I am standing on it. It's just me and maybe a wayward concession worker somewhere around here. I heard an echo a second ago, but as far as I know, I'm all alone in here, just trespassing. Hey,
Pate, what is your 40 time, you think? Like, what do you think you would run a 40 in?
Look, here's how I choose to answer that question on this show. If our lives depended on it, out of the three of us, I wouldn't be the one who died.
Yeah, that's fair. I would be the one that died. That's okay. I know. But look, we all have to know our strengths and weaknesses, you know?
I got in a big argument with a guy because to me, I believe I can run a sub-5-second 40 still. I'm 39 years old. I feel like I can run sub-5 seconds. And he said, "You're crazy. You don't get how fast sub-5-second 40 is." And I said, "Well, then I bet him an uncomfortable amount of money on it." And then I thought better of it, and we did not end up running. But honestly, I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, you got to watch those quads, man. They don't quite burn the way that they used to. So I'm curious to see what Pate's 40 time could be. Let me ask you this out of the weekend. I know you were tweeting a lot about it. What gets Josh Pate in the current landscape of college football to go full Mel Kiper and just melt down? There's a lot you could probably choose from because everybody has, you know, their gripes about the current landscape of the sport. What gets you to pull a full Mel Kiper?
So a couple of things just in the last week. I don't like that the same people who trash kids for chasing NIL bags are also trashing kids like Quinn Ewers for turning one down to go chase the NFL. That makes no sense to me because there's a lot of hypocrisy there. I do not like that there is not – how do I put this? I don't like how little legacy is valued anymore. I was just – so I'm in West Virginia today. I was just in Ren Baker's office 2 minutes ago, well, like 20 minutes ago. That's the AD at West Virginia. And I was talking to him about this. And it was – it used to be that the word legacy really meant a lot to people. And – I don't know that people think about it so much anymore, but it still matters. So I want you guys to think, like, if I'm enrolled at Texas or I'm enrolled at Oregon or whatnot, if I'm there 4 years, think about how much more rare that is now and how much more valuable that would be for me 20 or 30 years from now than at any point in history. It used to be everyone pretty much stayed at one program. So if you went and spoke publicly 30 years from now at a charity event down in Bend, Oregon, or Denton, Texas. Well, big deal. You played 4 years there. So did everyone. Well, now, fast forward to 2050, and imagine being able to say, yeah, I played all 4 years of my college football career at one place. Think about how marketable that makes you. Think about how much more value that bakes in, and think about the respect factor. And also think about how much personal pride you take in knowing where you're from. Just a question as simple as, hey, where'd you go to school? it'll take some guys 2 minutes to answer that down the road. Mm-hmm. So just the legacy, I think legacy, and then also prioritization. That's what gets me worked up a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to mock draft them to go in the fifth round, but those two things are what get me worked up right now.
Well, I think that's the thing. We were talking about this earlier because you did a good job on the show yesterday, because I know NFL's not really your thing. I my only counter to that is if you ever like fight yourself on what to do and how to do the show is – I actually would tell you, as a listener of your program now for God knows how many years and a friend of the show, I actually would look forward to hearing your thoughts. Maybe not on like team fit, because whatever, the NFL is the NFL, but Quinn Ewers deciding to leave, Shadur falling to the fifth, other guys that you watched and you loved or you thought were really good falling to a certain round. I'm genuinely interested in that, because you may not provide the NFL part of it that people look for, but you have enough of the college smarts to help me kind of maybe mesh those together. So as a listener and viewer, I would tell you that I do enjoy your content. The legacy thing is interesting to me. We talked about this earlier, of the Quinn Ewers example, because he started for, what, 3 years at Texas. I get where you're coming from, but I just don't think the collective world where that matters anymore. And yeah, you're right. The four-year guy could maybe parlay that into stuff down the road. But also, if Cam Ward hits, I promise you, Miami fans and future Miami teams will hear from Cam Ward in a Miami polo as if he played there for 3 or 4 years, because he's a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but you're pointing out the onion ring mixed in with the group of fries that I was talking about on the show last night. You're talking about an exception to the rule. I mean, look, if you can pull off a Cam Ward, more power to you. Transfer a million times for all I care. But the 99% out there are not going to be him. And the 99%, that legacy will matter very much down the road. And it could be over the span of decades, the difference in millions of dollars of earnings, but also put money aside. I know that's a really weird thing to say nowadays, but put the money aside for a second. I don't know, maybe I'm alone on this, but just the personal pride factor in a legacy matters to me. But then the other part, you know, for all the criticism that a lot of people give about the current structure or what is or isn't happening, you asked me a second ago what bothers me. Well, let me add a third thing on that. What bothers me is the disproportionate amount of, like, the criticism that the kids have to bear the brunt of when they didn't build the system. Mm-hmm. They probably, truth be told, don't even love the system, but they live in the system. They don't get, like, an alternate universe. There's not a button they press, and they go to another world with another set of rules. So, I don't know. I thought we got off of gripes, but I've merged our way back onto another one. But, yeah, I'm told, though, that we're going to snap our fingers and all of that's going to rectify itself over the next couple of years. So we'll be good. We'll be fine.
It's all going to be fixed. Don't worry. There's great leadership in place. Everything's going in the right direction. Josh Pate is our guest, the Commissioner of College Football. You can catch his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Catch the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Am I a weirdo for loving spring football? We're going to have their spring game on Saturday. I watched every second of it. Might have watched it twice. Am I weird for loving spring football?
No, you're a wonderful person for loving football. You're a patriotic American for loving spring football. I would ask the group of weirdos that's hating on you, what do you got going on in your life?
Thank you.
What's happening in your life?
Thank you.
Hand up.
Can I just, okay, we have a hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
Thank
a hand.
Thank you for being brave enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being brave enough mm-hmm. to admit your treachery. So now I would like to ask, why can't you just leave the rest of us alone and let us enjoy what we enjoy? How come you got to try and litigate your personal preferences onto us? Okay, we know our truth over here. We love spring football.
So
is it unhealthy? Of course it's unhealthy. Are we drawing conclusions that we'll forget by August? Absolutely.
Yes, damn
but
it.
You know what? That's the way the founders intended this country to operate.
Yeah, famously, that's what Thomas
Preach.
Jefferson put.
It was in the Constitution. Spring football means more.
Here's the thing. I will tell you, I am one of those weirdos you speak of. I am also one of those weirdos that doesn't care about spring ball. I don't need your takeaway that Kenyon Sadiq had 9 catches against
God,
his own
so
team
good.
And probably
God,
wore a red
looks
jersey, so,
good, so
he couldn't be tackled. But I will also watch Josh Pate every day he's on.
There's no offseason.
And I'll hear what's going on, but I don't need to watch it, because God knows that's not the real football. The real football starts in July, in August, fall camp, week zero. That's the real stuff, baby. Give me the NBA playoffs. Give me some NHL every once in a while. I'll follow my Braves. And then I'll just listen to what Josh Pate tells me about college.
Wait. Can I ask one question, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is, I know we're all about humor on this show, but I just have one serious question if I can.
Okay.
What is the NBA?
It's well played.
I think we need to hang the phone up.
That's
now.
Well played.
I think we have reached.
We got
the
a basketball guy over here, Pate. We got a basketball guy. I'm over here watching spring football on Saturdays.
The NBA playoffs are elite, Pate. The NBA playoffs are good. You don't have to like the regular season. The playoffs are good.
I'm going to take your word for it. I've never heard of her, but I'm going to take your word for it.
We're all weirdos in different ways.
I love it. I'm curious on this. You know, I'm assuming that you had a few more important things like traveling and, you know, prepping your show going on than to sit around and watch the Oregon Spring game on Saturday. But I'm just curious from the national perspective. You know, I've already seen, you know, all these post-spring top 25s. Gotta love those. I read every single one of them because I'm a sicko. And they're, you know, top five, top six. First time in a while that Oregon has had, and you could maybe go back to Lanning's first year with Bo, but at least Bo had played a lot of snaps at Auburn. But they have an unproven quarterback, and it's an open battle. Both guys had moments this weekend where, hey, it's a spring game, right? Offensive line's going to be a bit rough because you're breaking the unit up into two different teams. I'm just curious what you make from the national perspective on Oregon having another program record in NFL draft picks, but again having very high expectations for this upcoming year, yet this time without an experienced quarterback.
I think if you're doing spring takeaways, you're talking a lot more about portal than you are what you saw in the spring game, just in all seriousness. You would have had to have attended spring practices, which are closed, to have real takeaways from a football standpoint. But what you can know is Oregon went and overhauled their offensive line. Okay, that's wonderful. They went and got a running back out of Tulane that I think will be a 1,000-yard guy this fall if he's not hurt. That's wonderful. They probably got an all-Big Ten caliber safety out of Purdue. That's wonderful. Those are, to me, the big takeaways about Oregon. And what's so crazy is what just happened to them in the draft and Ohio State, what just happened to them in the draft should decimate a normal program.
Yeah.
And instead, they're going to sit there and be expected to compete for the Big Ten title and a prime playoff spot again. And I think it's valid. I don't think that's unfounded expectation. But the Dante Moore thing, look, I'll just remind you guys, a former certain unnamed, very high-profile quarterback prospect enrolled and then transferred out of Oregon within 5 minutes a couple of months ago. And he did that because he saw Dante Moore practice. I'm just letting you know. Most people up there know I know that. But Dante Moore was good enough to scare away a five-star caliber kid that just committed there. So I have a sneaking suspicion Oregon's going to be okay at quarterback. You make that my bold prediction for this year. Oregon, okay at quarterback.
What has been the fallout, just talking to people off the record, on the record, what have you, what has been kind of the takeaway of where or what this world has been and is when you have the Nico story happen and then, oh, quietly happening in the spring that I don't think has really been brought up by many people. Hey, Jaden Rashada is playing at Sacramento State now. Like, what has been kind of the fallout from some of these high-level quarterbacks or just this kind of movement we're seeing in the sport, the way that it's transpired?
I was in the office of a head coach in the last couple of weeks. He put it very bluntly, but probably accurately. He said, the next multi-million-dollar payday either one of those guys will have, Rashada or Iamaliava, the rest of their careers, will be if Netflix drops a bag in their lap to participate in an all-telling documentary down the road about how you derail a career. Wow. Because that's kind of what's happened to both of them. It's not that I wish it, but I don't have to wish it. It's happening anyway. The Nico stuff, I think far more than the Rashada stuff, has really jolted the sport into a course correction. And it's not isolated. There's a lot of other stuff going on in conjunction with it. But I've never seen sort of a coalescing of programs, coaches that normally are enemies, they're competing against each other, sort of come together and say, yeah, we got to get control of this thing again. It's just whatever's got to happen. If Congress has got to get involved, if we got to make him employees, whatever, it is time for action. And I know we've been saying that for a long time, but we don't control things. But the ones who do have their arms within reach of the power levers in this sport and beyond, I think are motivated to change things now.
Interesting. Where's the next stop? So you're in West Virginia right now. I'm assuming that content will be out soon for the coach speaking spring tour. I watched the USC stuff, the propaganda from Lincoln Riley, a little bit heavy, a little bit hot. That's all right.
I did that for you.
Thank you.
I did that for you.
I was one of those people at home. Yeah, this is the year the defense turns around. Where's the next stop? You got anything else planned? And will there be a trip to Eugene, Oregon at any point?
Yeah, we're planning the Oregon trip. It's not this week. I am told that I'll make a stop in the Buckeye State this week, and I will make a stop in the Yellowhammer State this week. I know you know what the Buckeye State is. Do you know what the Yellowhammer State is?
The Yellowhammer State? I don't know if I know that.
I thought you were a sicko like
that. I'm not on that level. I'm not commissioner level.
You sound like WBA.
I'm a deputy commissioner. What is the Yellowhammer State?
Well, anyone who's watched some spring games would know that is the state of Alabama. So, look, it's like halftime for you guys. Let's finish the second half strong up there.
Let's go. We're trying. Josh Pate, he's the commissioner of the sport. Go give him a follow on Twitter. At Josh Pate, CFB, a show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, live on YouTube, our time. Catch podcast wherever you find your podcast. Great to catch up with you. Have fun on the WVA logo, and let's do this again soon.
I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Josh Pate, the commissioner of the
sport. I'm used to the score bug. What do you want from me?
Yeah, Hey, you know, look, we all do it from time to time. I tried
you didn't
to
even know what the Yellowhammer State was.
I did not. Have you ever heard that? I didn't know what that
I'd
was.
I never heard of that.
Yellowhammer? I don't know what that means. No. Do they have a Yellowhammer in Alabama?
Kind of disturbing, but also pretty accurate, is just like the Rashada Nico stuff, and that, like, that's the next money they get. It's not the NFL. It's,
yeah. The Rashada stuff, I think, is not surprising after...
It's a nightmare.
It's turned into a nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. Sacramento State?
I know. The Nico one is like, dude, you were a starting quarterback in the playoff at one of the biggest programs in the sport.
With one of the best offensive-minded coaches in the sport.
And a team that was going to compete for an SEC title and likely be back in the playoff mix again this year.
And Dad just says, we need more?
Now you're at UCLA. Who is what? Where would you rank UCLA going into the year in the Big Ten?
How many teams are in that again?
37.
Yeah.
34th? 34th? That sounds about right.
Bottom four.
Yeah. Ahead of maybe Northwestern?
Purdue.
By the way,
got that going for it.
Riley Leonard got drafted late in the draft.
Riley Leonard did
Notre Dame
drafted.
Legacy player.
That's right. Notre Dame legacy Riley Leonard.
I appreciate his sentiment. I do.
I think you're both saying the same thing. I think that his take is these are so few and far between. They don't exist anymore. And that's what you're pointing out.
Yes.
That when you get them, it's like, oh.
But I also think fans have morphed that term to
Maybe
that.
Maybe they have.
When Bo Nix comes back to Eugene in 10 years, let's just assume he continues the NFL trajectory.
Yeah, has a good career.
I think his ovation is just as loud as Herbert's.
Hmm.
I don't think you can be in that building and go, man, Herbert got a little
more. I'm going
to
clap a little bit harder for
Herbert. Even though Herbert was a four-year.
I'm cheering for both. The clap's a little bit more aggressive for Herbs.
I think fans have manipulated, because this world is new to everybody, what legacy means to them.
Yeah, Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican Brewing brings brackets. Summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Great to catch up with our buddy Josh Pate there. Let's dive into some fun with audio, shall we? Is there a hostage situation going on here? Blink twice if you need help. That's next on The Fam. So much happened over the weekend. The NFL draft wrapping up. The shocking fall of Shedeur Sanders. NBA playoffs giving us buzzer beater dunks, no foul calls.
A legendary baseball team wearing the ugliest uniform I've ever seen.
Yeah, four home run game over the weekend.
Yeah, four home
and
run
his
game.
Team didn't
and
win.
They lost.
Who did they lose to?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, raise your hand if your team's in first place. Oh.
Raise your hand if your team's won three straight series.
Is that a confusing look? Have you not seen the standings?
Raise your hand if your team's
won. Tied.
Three straight.
Not tied. Go check the standings.
Three straight series? Anybody?
Congrats. Way to go, Briggs.
There you go.
Hey, way to turn it around.
We beat the D-bags.
That's right.
And your Dodger jerseys are the ugliest pieces of crap.
Those
I've
are
ever
horrible.
Seen in my life.
I didn't see the Dodger jerseys.
They're City Connect jerseys.
They're
bad.
They are awful.
They should petition the league to never wear anything
the
but their regular.
Are they the same
jersey.
Ones from the last couple of years?
No,
they're
this
new
is
this year.
New.
They're god
this
awful.
Ugly.
They're hideous.
Oh,
they got way
they're
uglier.
Horrible. Oh. I don't know why.
They look like a movie Los Angeles team.
They totally do.
Like it's not. They
it's
pretend
horrible.
They're the Dodgers.
How many City Edition jerseys do we even like?
Not too many.
There's not a lot of them.
The Mariners ones are some of the best ones.
Hmm. Do they still have the same ones as the last couple of years, or do they have new
ones?
They
look pretty similar. I don't know if they tweaked them.
That's the blue with the black pants, right?
Yeah, they look fairly similar in the gold old school Mariners across the chest.
I mean, the White Sox ones were cool. I liked the Red Sox ones occasionally. There's not a lot of good ones.
The Braves are the best one.
Braves are the best ones? What did I get to
look at?
Just the A?
It's the old school A.
Just the old, yeah.
Like the powder blue.
So it's a throwback.
Yeah, it's a throwback.
Yeah.
Which... What happened to baseball doing that? Let's
I don't
just
know.
Wear our throwbacks a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Well, Dodgers don't have throwbacks because they've worn the same damn jersey.
We're
forever.
A Brooklyn Dodger hat.
Exactly.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Easy fix. Better whatever the hell that was. My team's wearing purple in their City Connect jerseys. I digress. Yeah. So loss in the shuffle this weekend was Bill Belichick sitting down with CBS. Did you know that Bill Belichick wrote a book? My Life in Football, I think is what it's called, or Success in Football.
Did he write it, or did she write it?
I don't know who the hell wrote it, but he's got a book out there in the name Bill Belichick's on it.
I wasn't old enough in the moment to really appreciate or understand what Anna Nicole Smith was doing with that oil tycoon. And I know Belichick ain't quite in a wheelchair, nodding off, but my God, what happened in that CBS interview really just had to have brought back memories of, like, something's happening here.
I'm just going to prepare you right now. Some people cringe at awkward things. Like, some people, The Office was too cringy to watch some of the scenes.
I love the awkwardness.
You love awkwardness. So this is going to be right up Sprague's alley. So I'm going to paint a picture for you here. This is a seven-minute-long interview that they aired. Mm-hmm. CBS This Morning, or whatever their Sunday morning show is. So this is the final 2 minutes of it. First 5 minutes are fine. He's wearing a navy sweatshirt that has holes in it. The guy's like, hey,
typical Belichick, ripped sweater.
Talking about his life in football and all the lessons he's learned and the time with Brady and blah, blah, blah. The last 2 minutes, it takes a hard left turn into awkward. Mm. Starting with the fact that he wrote his book, and in the acknowledgments, he doesn't ever bring up Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft's name is not mentioned one time in the book.
I think it's an icy relationship.
And it's about his life in football. He won 6 Super Bowls with the Patriots. So that's where it starts.
I think they all kissed each other on the mouth during that
They all
run.
Made out all the time after they won Super Bowls. Yeah. Brady and his kid, Kraft and Belichick. It was weird. They're all kissing each other. Here's how the interview takes a left turn, and then it gets into his girlfriend. Mm. Enjoy the cringe.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
Sure.
It was a mutual decision.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the flaw.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
You joined InstaFace, as you put it. I love that. There's some great pictures of you and Jordan, where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of you. What's the reaction been like?
What's it been like?
To have these different sort of photos. There's another one where you're doing, I know you're not into meditation or yoga or Pilates. You're balancing Jordan on your feet. And she's doing kind of the Titanic pose.
Yeah, so I'm on some of those social media platforms, but I honestly don't follow them.
What he does follow isn't clicks or views.
It's football.
But touchdowns and above all, wins.
That's right.
You do seem like you're having a lot more fun these days than you were in other chapters of your life, let's say.
I enjoy football. I enjoy the whole process of it. It's hard to win, and it's hard to beat other good coaches, good teams. I appreciate the grind.
An answer.
I appreciate the competition.
Yeah.
But coaching's fun, and honestly, I feel like I haven't worked a day in my life.
Yeah.
So you can hear her in the middle there. Hudson is her name. You hear one of these in the background.
I'm not talking about this.
No.
No.
That tone and that control, that's a red flag.
And CBS,
the antennas are up, man.
No, they're up. CBS said so if you watch the clip, they show her. She's like in the background lurking behind a screen.
She's in it the whole, yeah.
Like, and the camera pans over to her. She said, we're not answering that. We're not talking about that. Somebody reached out to CBS and was like, that's a little interesting to keep that in the news.
Yes.
Like instead of just editing it. They said the reason they did it was she said that like a dozen times during the interview. She interjected like 10 or 12 times.
During an interview.
When they would ask a question about something and she would essentially say,
not talking about this.
No.
Now,
no.
And so CBS was like, all right, if you're going to be this involved in the interview, we're going to include you in the news story. And they included her in the story.
I mean, we've read what's happening at North Carolina, where basically everything that they want to go to Bill, he is basically saying it goes through her.
She has to be CC'd on every email inside the program.
Am I wrong in remembering the story came out, they met on the plane? They met on an airplane and exchanged, like, who they were and what they're. Am I misremembering that?
I don't remember how they met.
You don't remember hearing that story?
I don't. I
and
remember
they talked for hours and then they
vaguely, I think, yeah,
exchanged contact information. I think you got to be careful nowadays. These people and you know the legalities.
I lawsuit think, loading in 3, 2, 1.
Well, I hope not. What I haven't said anything controversial.
Say it. Say it.
I think people have dug in and found that she dated somebody of higher,
yeah,
status before this.
Yeah.
And like just how this is going is very.
There's been thoughts of, is she somebody for hire?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
No, I'm not even going to allude to that.
Okay.
I'm just like, this is a very interesting interview.
It's a very weird interview.
Like to have
the whole
somebody,
story is very strange. She's.
Yeah. It's very. Yeah.
He is in her hip pocket.
There's yeah in her yeah it,
yeah
in her hip
in her hip pocket
yeah, yeah
he is riding around in that pocket saying wee
yeah but football and
but
wins.
Football how's this gonna go this is gonna be
did anybody
television.
See this coming is this
no.
is how this was gonna end
no.
for him in football
like I think on the surface level
a woman is running
you like could a, say like how old is Bill Belichick 74
he's like 73 I think
73 years old
she's
just turned
24
she's 24
and she's running all
I think
of
on
it.
The surface level as a man you could say. Like, all right, you're nearing the end. I get, like, you get it. You understand it when you see the storyline of their relationship.
What do you talk about?
And then you get to this point, though, when you, like, she's got this much control. She's exerting creative control over questions you're answering in an interview.
Well, the bigger
as
issue
as a girlfriend
is,
at 24. Yeah.
24.
That, this is now a problem.
There's a player on his team right now at Carolina.
Older than him.
24.
Or older than her. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, without that's a doubt. The bigger issue is why... Is she? Does she have an official position?
Not
no.
with the university, but her official okay. position is like C.
They made her CEO of like, CEO Belichick, like Belichick Enterprises, yeah. which doesn't yeah. exist.
Yes,
it's a non-existent
there will
company.
Be somebody at some point at the university that
I mean, the tell-all
will they?
Book
it's
is,
Bill Belichick.
The tell-all book's gonna be great.
Doesn't matter. There'll be somebody at some point.
This is where I push back. This is where I honestly I'll be like the weirdo dude of the dude group.
It won't be an athletics person. It'll be like a compliance or a legal person or whatever.
73-24.
People that allowed their fake university program to
exactly.
go on for years.
That was an academic issue.
Live your best life, all right? Do what you want to do. I just will never understand that. I really won't. You can say, well, young girl, yeah, okay, thank you for the obvious. What do you talk about? Give me at least a 55-year-old.
Well, that's the whole point.
I mean, that's
of
still
like,
almost
yeah.
20 years younger than me.
That's the whole
but
point,
but they've
yeah.
lived. A 24-year-old?
They have.
And she's interjecting in a CBS News interview?
There is zero world.
Crazy.
In which this ends well.
Oh, yeah.
Zero world.
I've been on this train.
In which this is a happy ending to the story.
This is why I was out. And he wasn't even dating her. I'm like, this is
I'm not even just talking football.
Good.
Like, the football thing, you're going to end up being right on. That'll be a take that ages well for you. I'm just, like, just the relate. Like, there's no chance this is a non-messy split up. There's zero chance, dude.
Well,
she's way too involved in things. She's got emails. Messy. She's got access. This
if they don't split up, though, and this is lifetime for him,
which is not going to be very long.
Well, yeah,
maybe it could be 73. Hey,
knock on wood if you're with me
knock
here. Belichick could be 100 years old.
He very well could. Doesn't seem like a guy who takes very good care of himself.
You know? I think he does. He lives and breathes football. I'd say that's the best way to take care of yourself.
Was it a news interview or a hostage video? I don't know. But Bill Belichick randomly, I saw that yesterday morning, and I'm like, dude, there's way too much going on this weekend, but we can't let that slide. We got to. That has to be played. That
we
is
won't
too
be
good.
Answering that question. When he didn't ask you.
You're not getting interviewed.
I'm not talking about this.
Nope. No.
Not going to talk about that.
She seems, I don't know. Anyways, let's
anyways, on. I digress. Let's dive back into the NBA playoffs because there's a lot going on, and some of it we haven't even talked about yet. We'll get back into that next. Envisioning Jeff Russ driving in, angry hearing this song because he hates Rush. What a horrible take.
There's a lot of takes from a lot of people on this station that we don't all agree with each other. I'm kind of confidently saying I think Jeff Rust has the worst.
He's got pretty bad takes.
Non-sports takes.
Pretty bad takes.
At the fan.
What's worse, Jeff Rust non-sports takes or Swag's stubbornness towards
Ooh.
Every topic imaginable?
See, Rusty will argue his take in a polite manner.
Yeah.
And then maybe we poke a hole in the theory or the take and he'll laugh at himself. The stubbornness in which he displays the Mayo genre, whatever it else it is, like, I think I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Because I don't like a lot of stuff in my life. I hate seafood.
It's all sorts of stuff I hate.
But I will always be willing to try something. Try this. I do it better than everybody. I'm sure you do. Oh, it tastes the same. That's
You've never had my salmon. Wait till you have my salmon.
I've heard it 88 times.
I've cooked it way different than everybody else.
But I'll try it.
You take a bite.
Maybe you did do it the one way that I like.
Try it. You don't like it? All right. Still don't like it.
I don't like all genres of movies.
No.
But I'll try it.
Yeah.
Not a big vampire guy. But Sinners was amazing. And I just don't understand. I don't get it. You're 53. We're only going to be on this earth for so long, man. You don't want to try mayonnaise a way that might be good?
Never know.
And then you do, and you're like, I still don't like it. Like, well, you liked the pimento.
Yeah, sometimes you like it. Sometimes it's good.
There's ways to make it not awful.
Yeah, Jeff Russ coming in one day. I think I was one of the days you were out, and I was doing a segment. Somebody asked a question of, is there a band out there that gets you to change the channel whenever you hear that band come on? And I think U2 was the one that came to mind, because when they force fed us that U2 album, remember when
when it was on our phones?
It's like, dude, get this crap. Every time it came on, I'm like, get this off. I don't like U2. I don't want to listen to U2. I want nothing to do with U2. And he came in after the show and was like, yeah, mine's the Rolling Stones and Rush. I'm like, what? You don't like the Rolling Stones and Rush?
Those are two very hot take bands.
Okay. They don't have to be your favorite. To each their own, but to just automatically change a channel, overrated, they suck. All right, Rust. He's cooking with gas.
I'd have to think on that, by the way, that question of like what
band. Not an easy one to answer on the spot.
Well, no, because I don't listen to the.
Stop yourself right there.
I control who I listen to.
Shut your mouth.
But, like, how did U2 do that? Because nobody else has done that since.
Nobody else has figured that out.
A forced album.
A forced album on everybody's iPad.
I did kind of understand where it was coming from, though. It kind of made me not like them.
It totally did.
Like, dude, if I wanted to get the album.
I'll buy the album. I'll get the album.
I'll get the album.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. The Warriors beat the Rockets without Jimmy Butler. We didn't see that coming over the weekend.
I would have picked the Rockets for sure, but Houston's offense does suck.
Yeah, I mean, they're an interesting team. Look, I'm not going to bury them yet. We're not going to go zombie Rockets quite yet, because it's only 2-1, and maybe they win tonight, and they're right back in the series. Game 4 of that series is tonight in Golden State. Only two games tonight. You got Cavs and Heat, which nobody cares. And then
that series is over.
Yeah that's just done. So I'm not going to watch a second of it. And then you get Warriors Rockets. Should be good. I do find them interesting, because there have been connections back locally to Portland. Like, that is the city on a hill that we're aspiring to be. Look at that. They sucked for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Got top 10 picks a couple of years in a row. Now they're the 2 seed in the Western Conference. And the one argument that people have made against Houston is, this time of year, what usually tends to win in the playoffs? A star player being able to have special performances and carry your team. How did the Warriors win game 3 of that series? Steph Curry was Steph Curry. And you're like, damn, this guy's pretty effing good. And I think that's still the biggest question about Houston. So again, before they are the zombie Rockets, they could win tonight, maybe go on to win the series. I don't know how it's going to play out. I do find it interesting that Draymond's in their head, which Draymond gets in everybody's head. He gets them, chirping and talking and
painting nails to Jalen Green.
And so that's going on in the background of the series. We await to see the status on Jimmy Butler. And I do think it will be an interesting question for Houston if they do turn into the zombie Rockets. Of who is that guy and who do you build Jalen Green is clearly on the pathway to it, but can he become that true number one guy?
I mean, are you getting ahead here? Like, so the offseason's here for the Rockets? Is that what you're asking?
I mean, a little bit, yeah, a little bit there.
It's easy. It's the guy in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, they have pieces. I mean, they're not even playing Reed Shepard. Cam Whitmore doesn't play. You talk about their top 10 picks. There's only one of them really playing.
Yeah. Well, two, right? Thompson and Green.
Well, oh yeah, Touche. Thompson. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the correction there. But like Whitmore was also a first-round pick.
So they call me that.
Not playing him. Reed Shepard was the 3rd pick last year.
Yeah.
Thompson emerged this year on the scene, right? Like, it's not like they're sitting there with top. They're not being run by the top 10 picks. It's a mixture of kind of what Detroit did. The youth mixed with the veteran. But if you're Houston, you're seeing what's happening here. If you lose this series and not beating Golden State without Jimmy Butler is very problematic.
Is he back tonight, by the way? Do we have an update
on
him?
Questionable.
He is officially questionable.
But, like, you're trading Şengün, right? You're trading Reed Shepard. You're trading multiple
draft
picks.
Whatever it takes to get the guy.
You're giving Milwaukee a reason to say yes if Giannis does approach you. And if it's not Milwaukee, it's Phoenix.
Yeah.
You need offense. You need something. Because that's what they're lacking. And, you know, Ime's a great coach. But, man, that offense sucks.
It's really tough to watch at times, dude. It is painful. They have they scored 85 points in game 1 and lost. Got to 109 in game 2, won the game. Butler goes down, kind of changed the dynamic of it, and then scored 93 in game 3.
Yeah.
To have 2 playoff games with 93 or fewer points, that's not a great
indicator. Well, and I think, you know, not only is it the Houston side, the other side has to be, if we're going to do the LeBron age thing, and I think we rightfully do that, we need to also be kind of with the same energy doing that with Steph. We just watched Damian Lillard not make it to his, what, 36th birthday.
Yeah, 35 going on 36.
Before popping his Achilles. Like, we need to acknowledge what Steph Curry is doing. And a listener earlier pointed it out correctly. It's a Benjamin Button case. It's injured early. Oh, my God, he's not going to have a long career. His ankles are bad. To
somehow staying healthy forever.
Yeah, I think he, what did he break his hand a couple years ago?
Yeah, the 1 year where they tanked and got Wiseman, where everybody was down, that he went down too.
2020. Yeah. So, like, other than that, he's largely just been a beacon of health. And look, we'll get to the top 10, whatever, in June when we do our best of show. But, like, he really just, it's remarkable to be able to see him do what he's doing.
The longevity is incredible, considering where his career started. I think both him and LeBron are in the same line there. With LeBron, the amount of minutes and games he's played, Steph has done the same. Where they, what, four straight years in the finals, the additional finals against Boston, like a lot of deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
And so the overall game load isn't quite the same as it would have been if you just been on an average to bad team. He's played a lot more games, a lot more months into the season. And so remarkable what he's doing. That is the only intriguing game tonight, Houston and Golden State. Game four of that series is at 7 o'clock. Let's put a bow on your Monday. We'll wrap it up. See what we want to get to in the final segment. Close it up next on The Fam. Well, should we get a little cup check on quickly? Did you guys stay up and watch the end of Oilers and Kings last night?
That was pretty remarkable.
I saw the Oilers tied the series.
They did.
The Wild are tied with the Knights.
They scored at the end of regulation.
24 seconds to
go. Bouchard has had
back-to-back huge games. Loose in the high slot.
The Stars suffered an avalanche fall on them, 4-0.
That was, for me, the best sports story of the weekend was Gabriel Landeskog getting a goal in that victory. Everything that he's gone through over almost three full years since he last played in the NHL, and he gets a goal in his second game back,
pretty cool,
back in the playoffs, and it was pretty remarkable.
Pretty damn cool. You had two overtime games on Saturday. Vegas tied up their series with Minnesota 2-2. Mm-hmm. The Maple Leafs could not close out Ottawa, and that game went to overtime. They lost in overtime 4-3. You mentioned the Avalanche blew out the Stars. They were due for a game like that, the way that they played in the series, so that was not a surprise. And Tampa, a little bit of pride there. They fight back to make that series 2-1. Last night was entertaining. I did not stay up till the end of it, though. That was one. You get to
do you
overtime.
Stay up for anything? I feel like it doesn't matter how good or exciting it is. You will just go to bed and be like, I'll see the outcome in the morning.
I stay up for everything. But
yeah, I care about my well-being and being ready to go at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if I stay up, here's a tough thing with overtime hockey games. You don't know how long it's going to go. Yeah. So how long do you hang on for? So if I stay up for that game.
I mean, fair point.
So it was like 9:20 when Edmonton scored, mm-hmm. I want to say, and I was waiting till the end of regulation to see if they would. They were down 2-0, came back, tied the game, and it was going overtime. So now I got to wait 15 minutes for overtime to start, and then overtime starts. What if nobody scores in overtime? Do I stay up for a second overtime, or do I go to sleep then? And then my entire thought process is, why the hell did I stay up and watch that overtime?
I think you're all in.
When I could have gone to bed. Now, at that point, you got to commit.
I think you're all in if you go to the first overtime.
It's like back in the old baseball extra innings rules when you didn't have the runner on second. Once you got to like the 13th inning, you're like, dude, I might as well.
You got to.
I can't turn the game off now. I've made it this far. I'm not going to not see the end of the damn game. So that's my thought process. To answer your question, no, there's not many things.
Conference finals?
Yeah, but here's the thing with conference finals. They don't go that late because they start at 5 o'clock.
Right.
This was an almost 7 o'clock puck drop. Mm. So you're going to, Stanley Cup final, Eastern Conference final, NBA game, like those will all start at 5. So if they go to overtime, it's within my window to go to sleep. So I'm not staying up for that. But the Oilers did tie up their series. No report on if the gal took her tarp off in the
her
stand.
Her tarp?
Her tarp. It went tarps off. I don't know. I don't know if the tarp stayed on, if the tarp stayed
off.
Oh, the
Oiler gal.
I don't know if she did it, if she was in the building last night. I have not seen visual evidence of it, but maybe she's the good mojo that's cooking for the Oilers again. There is your cup check. Anything we missed in the notes today? We didn't get to the Shador prank call. You want to play it now? We got a couple minutes
to go. We can, yeah. I mean, it's an active defensive coordinator's son. Like, it's one thing for somebody to have found that phone. By the way, it was a new phone. Only teams had that number. He had not given that to anybody else.
No friends had that phone.
And Jax Ulbrich, right? Jeff Ulbrich? Yeah.
Jax
Ulbrich.
What a name, Jax.
Also not what I thought he looked like.
With an X.
saw it on the iPad at his dad's house, took it, thought it'd be funny to film doing it, which, How did you not think that through?
And filmed it. Like, what are you doing? Also, should be noted, he's not the only. They prank called a bunch of different players. Yes. This was just the most viral, and here's how it sounded.
Hey, is this Shadir? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, dude.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This thing doesn't be nothing to
do. Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
What are you saying?
And they're filming everything on their sites, yeah.
And you was on the phone.
You heard that?
He said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Why did he call?
That's, I don't know what that was. It's 50-50. But nobody got this number, though.
It was five.
Huh? Did they just troll, girl?
Okay.
Man, he just got trolled, bro. They tripping now, fam. Now I'm going to crash out, bro. Oh.
So that was, of course, Dion's side is filming everything.
Is that good enough prank to, like, want to put so much out there and on the line?
How stupid could you be to film it? Like, I get the theory, like, dude, we're dumb in college.
Your
tell me you give me Shador Sanders' phone number and I could prank call him. I'm sure 19-year-old Dirt would be like, that's hilarious. You don't film it, the evidence.
Well, you know his dad being
an
NFL player.
And then they tweeted out the video, yeah, like, what are you doing?
You know his dad has told him his whole life, hey, don't do stupid things. I'm in the NFL.
God. Way to go, Jax. Jax. Who names their kid Jax?
I mean, a lot.
What's worth, Jack Collinsworth with just a C? Or Jax Olbrick with an X? X, gotta give it to you. That'll do it. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Boy, oh boy, was it a loaded Monday. Josh Pate joined us. It's fun chatting with him about everything going on in the college football world,
you
live from West Virginia.
Sub 5 second 40. That's a bit much.
He's a very strong,
he's a
bulky
dude.
Guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's slender and aerodynamic to run a sub 5.
Got a moving groove.
Never seen him sprint, so I don't know. It's hard to have a take on that.
We got a Joe Fisher on our hands.
We do have a bit of a Joe Fisher. I give Pate's better chance than Joe Fisher. That's for damn sure. Not even close. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. If you missed any show, again, go find the podcast. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.